Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Another day, another dollar. Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm Al Martin right here on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM. We are live and in full effect for another fantastic 60 minutes of WKAR's Current Sports. On today's Current Sports, we will continue our week-long high school football special as the high school football season officially begins this week. We got a few games that will actually take place on Thursday, but for the majority of our local schools, those games will kick off on Friday. Yesterday, we welcomed Bill Ferracco to the show. Bill Ferracco, former Michigan State football player and longtime head coach of the East Lansing football team. Bill was great. Always good chatting with him as they prepare for a duel with St. John's for the fourth straight season opener between the Trojans and the Red Wings. And on today's Current Sports, we will welcome a powerhouse to the show. A legend to the show when it comes to high school sports, that being Terry Hesbrook, who is the head coach of the Ithaca Yellow Jackets football team. If you know anything about high school football here in Mid Michigan, you know that Ithaca High School has been the most dominant program in the area for a long, long time. So Terry Hesbrook will join us on the show to preview the upcoming year for the yellow and navy blue. You don't want to miss that. We will also talk about the University of Michigan football program as a certain head coach has guaranteed a win when it comes to that September 2nd afternoon duel between the Michigan Wolverines and the Florida Gators. You don't want to miss that. And on the back end of the show, we'll get to the Ty Lacusa story that we kind of previewed on yesterday's Current Sports. Ty Lacusa deciding to leave the Michigan State football program 8 months ago. It's because he wasn't in love with the game. Was not in love with the game of football, decided to take a break from it, and it looked like all signs were pointing to Lacusa possibly pursuing a career in collegiate basketball. Well, we'll discuss that. And also the home run race. I'm pretty excited to get to this one because Giancarlo Stanton, my goodness, this dude is just flexing his muscle right now. He is on pace after this past weekend to hit 60 homers on the year. However, there's a much bigger conversation that needs to be had, and I think many of you know what I mean. That and more, folks, going to be a fun show. Be a part of it by simply picking up the phone and dialing 517-355. WKAR 517-355-9527. Go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. You can watch the live stream there and also leave a comment. And I'll read those comments live here on our airwaves. Also tweet us at WKAR_sports or at Al Martin WKAR. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners. All right, as many of you know, the Florida Gators and the Michigan Wolverines will kick off the 2017 college football season when they meet at AT&T Stadium for a Labor Day weekend showdown. Florida coach Jim McElwain is, safe to say, pumped. At a student pet rally inside the Swamp, Florida's football stadium, McElwain thanked the crowd for buying season tickets and went a little further than that. Quote, "I love the energy. Can't wait to see you. And you know what? We're heading to Dallas here in a couple of weeks to go beat the heck out of Michigan and then come back to you guys. How about that?" Prior to the boast, Florida running back Mark Thompson took on Twitter to say that the Gators were going to, quote, beat the brakes, end quote, off Michigan. Michigan is a 3.5-point favorite over Florida for the opener. Florida recently lost 7 players due to suspension, including elite receiver Antonio Callaway. Now, McElwain better be more prepared than the last time the Gators and Wolverines met in the 2016 Citrus Bowl. Michigan chopped down on Florida 41-7, the final of that one. We'll have more on Jim McElwain not biting his tongue and predicting a dub over the Wolverines in just a moment. Don't go anywhere for that one. The Associated Press unveiled the first version of its weekly top 25 poll yesterday, and the Michigan Wolverines landed at spot numero 11. The top five goes in this order: Alabama, Ohio State, Florida State, USC, Clemson. After a huge rebound year, Penn State is in sixth. Wisconsin came in at ninth, meaning 4 Big Ten teams made the top 11. Michigan State, unsurprisingly, was left out of the list, even though there was one voter that did vote for Michigan State to be in the top 25. Florida, U of M's opening match for September 2nd, is ranked 17th in the country. While Florida is without 7 players for that much-publicized game, Michigan will be without at least one. Redshirt sophomore Keith Washington decided to transfer from the University of Michigan yesterday, days before the season begins. The news was broken by Sam Webb of Scout.com. Washington was a 3-star recruit from Prattville, Alabama in the class of 2015 and did not name schools that he is considering. If he picks an FBS school, he will need to sit out at least 1 year. Washington had hoped to compete for a starting role in the secondary that lost 4 starters from last season, but before this year, he had already been moved from corner to safety. He likely would have been a special teams player and backup for the upcoming year. With NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell in town to check out the $100 million renovations at Ford Field, Detroit Lions president Rod Wood has used the visit to court the 2020 to 2021 NFL drafts, as well as a Super Bowl eventually. Now, since moving from its home of many years in New York City, the NFL draft has jumped to Chicago the last 2 years, and then Philly this year. Now, Philly drew an estimated 250,000 people to its elaborate outdoor event. Detroit has been building its pitch around the historic Fox Theater. Wood told a Detroit radio station, which under the proposal would host the draft. Wood was named Ford Field, has named Ford Field, Comerica Park, and Little Caesars Arena, as well as Campus Martius and the riverfront as potential sites for other draft-related events. As for the Super Bowl, that would likely be further off, and Wood said the Lions are preparing their approach now. 14 years and almost 14,000 yards later, former Detroit Lions receiver Anquan Boldin is hanging up the cleats. How about that? Boldin cited a higher calling as his reason for his retirement, which comes just 2 weeks after he signed with the Buffalo Bills. Now, Boldin has for a long time been passionate about social justice. He has worked on Capitol Hill since 2015, and that was after his cousin was shot to death, sadly, when his van broke down in Florida by a police officer in street clothes. As an advocate for criminal justice reform, Boldin won the NFL's Walter Payton Service Award for his work with charities off the field. Quote, "Football has afforded me a platform throughout my career to have a greater impact on my humanitarian work. And at this time, I feel drawn to make the larger fight for human rights a priority." That's a statement that he released to ESPN. Quote, "My life's purpose is bigger than football," end quote. With the Lions, Boldin hauled in 8 TDs and 584 yards back in 2016 before joining Detroit. He also played with the San Francisco 49ers, Baltimore Ravens, and Arizona Cardinals, winning a Super Bowl with the Ravens. He leaves the league in the top 20 for both career receiving yards and receptions. The Detroit Tigers, meanwhile, welcome the New York Yankees for a three-game series beginning tonight. The Yanks haven't quite caught fire since the All-Star break as they are 4.5 games behind the Boston Red Sox in the AL East. They still hold up the top AL wildcard spot. The Tigers, of course, face more serious issues. They have earned just one dub in the last 7 plate appearances, and star Miguel Cabrera is playing through injury. The hip and lower back area are both giving Miggy problems, forcing him to cut off his swing. He has dropped 25 pounds in the last few weeks. First pitch tonight, 7:10 p.m. Henrik Zetterberg has told a Swedish radio station that he is unlikely to finish out the rest of his contract with the Detroit Red Wings. Speaking to Sweden's Radio Sportsens, Zetterberg said he will likely play just 2 more seasons of his contract, which does run through the 2020 to 2021 year. Zetterberg said in his, signing his 12-year, $73 million deal with the Wings, they tried to, quote, fool the system, end quote, by structuring the payroll differently. Zetterberg has played with the Wings for his entire 14-year NHL career. In 2009, Zetterberg signed a 12-year deal to stay in Detroit. By the end of the contract, he would have been 40. Zetterberg will turn 37 near the start of the 2017-18 NHL season. He has a cap hit of a little over $6 million. And on Monday, golfer Tiger Woods and his girlfriend, ex-girlfriend, I should say, USA skier Lindsey Vonn, had their personal photos hacked and nude pictures of each surface online. Tiger Woods, who has been in hot water since his recent DUI, in which he has pled not guilty to, he threatened to sue websites that distributed the photos. TMZ reports that the photos were taken from Lindsey Vonn's phone. Tiger Woods has just been staying in the news for not the best reasons as of late. Those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and share your thoughts on any of those, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/currentsports, and you can even tweet us at WKAR_sports or at Al Martin WKAR. Let's keep this thing a pushing.
Couple weeks to go beat the heck out of Michigan and then come back to you guys. Thanks.
Yes, that is how we start this Tuesday afternoon version of WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome to the show, ladies and gents, boys and girls. I am your host, Al Martin. I'm excited about today's show. Going to be a fun one. Going to be a fun week, actually, as we keep on pushing. And we inch closer to the start of high school football. In just moments, we will welcome to the show Terry Hesbrook, head coach of the powerhouse. That is the Ithaca Yellow Jackets high school football team. You don't want to miss that. But I want to start, as Eddie Murphy's Party All the Time rolls underneath me. I absolutely love that track. Produced by, of course, the great Rick James. Jim McElwain, head coach of the Florida Gators football team, exuding confidence, speaking to the fans that are Florida college football, not being shy and letting it be known that they plan to beat Michigan. Quote, "We're going to beat the heck out of Michigan," end quote. So not just beat Michigan, they are going to just stomp on them, beat the heck out of them. I love the confidence, Jim. Absolutely love it. You know, I feel like so many coaches and athletes are way too filtered when it comes to the world of sports. It's sports. You got to be confident if you want to be successful, right? Wear that confidence on your sleeve. However, you look at Florida, though. 7 players suspended. That's not going to bode well for the Gators. 7 players, which include, as I mentioned in our headliners, receiver Antonio Callaway. But hey, regardless of that, you know, it's the start of the year. Every team is 0-0, 0-0, donut to donut. Confidence is everything at the start of the season. Endless possibilities. And again, I love athletes and coaches who aren't afraid to embrace, you know, really that fine line between looking like a prophet and possibly sticking their foot completely in their mouths, right? There's a fine line there, because when you make guarantees and when you make predictions, you can look like a genius or you can look like a complete idiot. Simple as that. But as a coach, sometimes your mouthpiece as a coach is what can really get your team to look at themselves as winners. Again, it's all about confidence. Confidence, again, is everything in the world of sports. However, you know, when I listen to Jim McElwain, you know, address the swamp and say that we are going to beat the heck out of Michigan, I did think about a few moments and a few guarantees in sports history that did not go well for many. I want to just kind of go through a few moments that came to mind for me. NFL safety Anthony Smith, he's a name that always comes up in my mind anytime I hear athletes try and make predictions, right? NFL safety Anthony Smith, he actually challenged Tom Brady and the unbeaten Patriots back in 2007. He guaranteed a win. He guaranteed that his Pittsburgh Steelers were going to top the GOAT. Check out this.
What gives you the confidence to go out and guarantee a win in a game like this?
The guys I'm playing with. You know, we got a great, great D-line, great linebacker core, and great DBs. You know, we're number one across the board, so...
So the prediction is that you will win.
Yeah, we're going to win. As long as we come out and do what we're supposed to do, you know, they got an explosive offense. So if we don't give them any big plays and, you know, eliminate the dumb mistakes, I think we will win the game.
The spotlight's on you now. You realize that?
Yeah, I don't care nothing about no spotlight.
I love that. Now, Anthony did kind of double down, because this was a follow-up interview after Anthony Smith had come out and said, quote, "We are going to win. Yeah, I can guarantee a win." And then a reporter's got a hold of that quote and then followed up. And that's what you just heard was the follow-up. He said, as long as we do the right things, yeah, we're going to win. We're going to win. He guaranteed that his Steelers would snap Tom Brady's 12-game win streak in 07. And that didn't happen. Stuck his foot right in his mouth. Tom Brady and the Pats went right at Smith the entire game. If you guys remember, that's when Randy Moss, one of the greatest wide receivers to ever play, that's when Randy Moss was balling out for the Patriots, and he actually caught a sick 63-yard touchdown right over Smith. And it's a very cool moment, because you see Moss score the touchdown, and then you see the very competitive Tom Brady. He heard the chatter. Tom, I love him. This is what makes him the greatest quarterback of all time. He's so competitive. Tom Brady, they went right at Smith the entire game. He went right at Smith the entire game. And then after that touchdown to Randy Moss, he went up to Anthony Smith and talk some trash, and you can see it on camera. You can see him talking some trash, and then the reporters, of course, asked him, what did he say to Anthony Smith after the game? And Brady went on to say that he said a few words that, quote, I don't care to repeat, especially if my mother reads it, end quote. Yeah, we all know how that season went. They finished the year undefeated, but ended up losing in the playoffs. How about the 08-09 Oklahoma women's college basketball season when Courtney Paris actually promised to refund her scholarship if the Sooners didn't win a national title? Very bold, right? Very confident and very bold. Oklahoma ended up falling to Louisville in the Final Four, but luckily the Oklahoma athletic director decided not to collect that check from Courtney Paris. That's a pretty funny one. Also, who could forget, you know, to bring this thing, you know, to the local scene, who could forget back in 2007 when John Kitna declared it the year of the Lion for the Detroit Lions? He was asked about his prediction for the upcoming season for the Detroit Lions, and he said, quote, I'll keep to myself what I think we will actually win, but I'll tell you this, it's more than 10 games, end quote. If you remember in 07, though, the Lions started out just streaking hot, really, really hot. They began 6-2, and then they would go on, though, to lose in classic Detroit Lions fashion. They would go on to lose 7 of their final 8 games, ending the season with a 7-9 record. And this probably has to be my favorite one just because you guys know I'm a huge Detroit Pistons fan. How about in 03 when Orlando Magic star at the time, Tracy McGrady, who ended up playing for the Pistons late in his career, T-Mac, as the Magic had a 3-1 series lead over the Pistons, he went on to say, quote, it feels good to get in the second round, end quote. I remember that quote. It's like a light bulb went off, you know, when it came to Rick Carlisle and his team. The Pistons would go on to win 3 straight games by a combined total of 61 points. T-Mac never, I believe, got out of the first round, Isaac, right?
I can't think of a time where he did.
He almost did. He just had to win one game. Just 48 minutes of great basketball, right? And that didn't happen. T-Mac never got out of the second round, and the Pistons, again, coming back from a 3-1 series lead. But again, I love it. But despite all of that, there have been a few guarantees in sports for many athletes and coaches alike that have panned out to be good predictions, right? And again, it could be a rallying cry for your team. Right now, Jim McElwain is looking at the situation with his Florida Gators, considering the fact that 7 players are suspended for this game. To start the year, a game that will set the tone for the rest of your season, a game that has end-of-season implications, and you don't have 7 players, including your star receiver in Antonio Callaway, he is looking for anything that will breathe confidence into his current roster. So I have no problem with his comments, and this will be a game, again, that will define a season early. Can't wait for this September 2nd, 3:30 p.m. matchup out in Texas between the Wolverines and the Gators. And the Wolverines, you know, don't have a bad schedule, playing most of their tough opponents at home, with the exception of Penn State and Wisconsin. If the Wolverines lose to start the year, though, against Florida, they will need to be virtually perfect if they do want a shot at the college football playoff, all right? Looking at how that schedule pans out, because you play Penn State, defending Big Ten champ, and then, oh yeah, the Ohio State Buckeyes. They are also on that schedule. It's good that it's a home game, but again, if they don't beat the Florida Gators, they are going to have to run the tables, I believe, if they want a shot at the CFP. Now, Malik Zaire, going to be a spotlight on him. I mean, he's a transfer from Notre Dame. He will have a lot of attention on him. There's been a lot of hype around Malik. He is going to be the guy behind center. If he loses this game to Michigan, get this, it will be the 4th loss in 4 tries for him against the Wolverines. 2 of the mightiest football powerhouses finally meeting for a regular season game. This will be the first regular season matchup between the two. Florida and Michigan have only faced off in the brutal 2016 Citrus Bowl. As I mentioned, 41-7, the Wolverines won that. The 2008 Capital One Bowl, that was Lloyd Carr's finale over Tim Tebow, and the 2003 Outback Bowl that was a 38-30 win in favor of the Wolverines. But really, none of those mattered like this one. A different feel. I mean, those are end-of-the-year bowls, right? This is a regular season matchup that, again, depending on who wins, can really bolster that resume moving forward. I love it. Get this, though. Some interesting aspects here. The last time Florida lost a season opener, you want to take a stab at that one, Isaac, if you had to just guess. When was the last time that the Florida Gators lost a season opener?
2002. That would be my guess.
I'll give you two more. Go further back.
Further back?
Further back.
Okay. Wow.
Further back.
95.
Further back.
88.
You're close. 89. 89. Dang. Can you believe it's been that long? That is the last time the floor. Who have they been playing to start the year, man?
SEC teams do have a tradition of playing absolute
lollipops. Yeah, that's
to
what
begin
I'm
the season.
Exactly, right? So, but yeah, you have to go all the way back to 1989. That is the last time Florida lost a season opener. That was an Ole Miss win over the Gators, 24-19, the final of that one. So, yeah, we'll see if history can continue to be in the side of the Gators. So as far as the X's and O's of this game, and we'll preview it again. We'll next week we'll really dive into the hard X's and O's of this game. I find it intriguing on so many levels. The hype surrounded around Jim Harbaugh in Michigan every single season that he has been the head coach is a bit too premature in my estimation. You look at this year. Looking at the Gators and the Wolverines, both teams are slated to have solid defenses despite the losses to the NFL for both squads. Michigan lost the most number of starters on both sides of the ball than any team in the country. However, the fact that they had the most 4- and 5-star recruits of 2017 in the 2017 class, 21, right behind Alabama's 23. That is why a lot of folks are still high on Jim Harbaugh and the Wolverines. I think that the defense, though, will frustrate Malik Zaire, and I do believe that Wilton Spate will get better. I think we'll see a few mishaps here and there to start the game, but I do think Wilton Spate will get better as the game rolls along. And our headliners, as Isaac so eloquently typed up, right now the Wolverines have a 3.5-point favorite. And I'm going with the Wolverines to win this game. Give an early prediction. I'll let the cat out the bag right now. I do believe that the Michigan Wolverines will top the Florida Gators next week in this nationally televised powerhouse of a matchup. I think it will be competitive, though, Isaac. I really do. And I have no problem with Jim McElwain saying, hey, we're going to beat the heck out of the Wolverines. I think right now Jim is trying to find something to motivate his troops despite the ugly storyline of 7 players doing something they're not supposed to do and being suspended for this matchup.
One, as a coach, part of your job is not just managing the team, managing the personalities. Obviously, that's what he's trying to do, get his team fired up. It's also managing the fan base. You're a PR representative for the entire school, the entire team. And I've always said this comment, one of the stupidest questions that a reporter can ask a player, a coach, whoever. Do you guys think there will be game 7? Do you guys think that you'll win this game? What are they supposed to say? Nah, probably not. You know,
don't you hate
when people say that? Now, this isn't provoked by a question, but guarantees are always overblown in sports. When somebody says, I think we're going to win this game, duh. Otherwise, you're going
to
lose it.
You're supposed to. The mentality of an athlete, you have to believe that you're going to win every single game.
Exactly. I've got no problem with the coach saying this. Now, with that being said, if you really are, let's say, Furman going to Michigan State, I don't necessarily want that coach saying, yeah, we're going to beat the wheels off of Michigan State. You are supposed to show some level of restraint
as a coach.
You're supposed to be more leveled. But this is Michigan versus Florida. Powerhouse versus powerhouse. Yeah, I've got no problem with this. This should get both sides fired up. And I'm happy he said it. If Jim Harbaugh said, yeah, I think that we're going to beat Florida, I wouldn't give him any flack either. I have no problem whatsoever with this claim.
Before we hit our first break, I also want to push this story along, but a lot of people are really tripping, especially Michigan State fans, about Jim Harbaugh and Michigan not releasing their full roster. They did this last year as well, Isaac. Jim Harbaugh and Michigan will release a roster. However, I believe every single Big Ten team has already put out their official roster except Jim Harbaugh. Now, Michigan has not provided an updated roster to the public since August of 2016. They actually, I believe, still have the roster of last season up on the team's official page on mgoblue.com. It still features names, heights, weights, classes from last year. So, you know, you look at guys like Shane Morris, Devin Asiasi, well, I love that last name, and several other players who have either graduated, transferred, or departed from the program. They are still listed on the roster. A lot of people are tripping about this, saying, Harbs, just put out the roster. What's the big deal here? And I do believe that there is a method to the madness when it comes to Jim Harbaugh. He actually tweeted out on August 20th at 4:40 p.m., quote, final tryouts for roster spots on 2017 Michigan football team can start no earlier than 8:28. Roster will be determined and publicized on August 30th. So that's the method to the madness that he's putting out there. And I believe that, you know, Jim Harbaugh, he's all about trying to find an edge in anything that he does, right? A competitive edge. And I believe that him stalling on the roster and not having his players think about what the depth chart looks like right now, it's possibly breathing in some new competitive fervor into every preseason practice, right? If you don't know where you are on the depth chart, and if you have a bunch of mystery question marks out there as to where you sit on the depth chart in the roster, Isaac, you're going to go out there and play harder. I like the psychology there, and I think the people are tripping a bit on the roster not being out.
That's what he could be doing. What it is doing is making it harder for us media members, but guess what? That's not his job.
Whatever.
That's not his job. His job is to win football games. Right. Exactly. So the other thing he could be doing is knowing exactly who's starting at what position, what playing time it will be, and having that posted at his office. In his office, if you're a player and you want to know when you're playing, what you're playing, whatever, stop by and ask him. Maybe he knows, but he doesn't want to show his hand to the public just yet. If I was a coach, I love the strategy of going into games mm-hmm. without announcing a starting quarterback, a starting running back, if this guy's playing
but
or
it's
not.
Twofold. It's twofold, it though, because I think that for Michigan State, you know, coming out and saying that Brian Lewerke is the guy, then you know who the leader is throughout practice.
But couldn't you say in practice to all your guys,
you could. Keep
Brian Lewerke, he's the guy, and then just lock it down? That's what I would do if I was a coach.
I hear you. All right, well, let's hit our first break. When we come back, he's actually texting me right now saying if we're still on. Of course we're still on. Terry Hesbrook, head coach of the Ithaca Yellow Jackets powerhouse football squad, will join us on the air as we continue our week-long high school football series. High school football starts this week. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Let's get right to it. Our guest for today's Current Sports is certainly a dear friend of the show. He has been the head football coach at Ithaca High School since 2004 and has an overall record of 139-19. Just let that soak in. 139-19. This year, the Yellow Jackets are chasing a ninth straight league championship and have lost just one league game during their title streak. The Yellow Jackets have captured five D6 state championships and won seven Tri-Valley Conference West titles since the start of 2010. Ithaca has not lost a regular season game since 2009 and had a win streak of 69 games that was well documented. They are looking to get back at it after falling to Frankenmuth in the D5 regional. It was the program's second loss since the start of the 2010 year. to help preview the 2017 year for the Ithaca Yellow Jackets football team. We now welcome the head coach of that very squad, Terry Hesbrook, to the show. Terry, how you doing, my man?
Doing great, Al. How you doing?
Always good chatting with you. You know, Terry, I was reading the paper yesterday, and the Lansing State Journal actually published an article that ranked the area's top football program since 2010. And by no surprise, you guys were ranked as numero uno. You're coming off a year, as I mentioned in that intro, where you guys fell to Frankenmuth, moved up a division, uncharted territory for you all. What's the mood been like throughout preseason practice?
It's been really good. We're pretty motivated, to be honest with you, after last year. We fell short of our goal last year. And I think that a lot of the kids and a lot of the coaches weren't very happy with the way that the season ended. And so, as one of them told me today, you know, we've got a losing streak right now. So we've got to get back to work.
Yeah, and you look at how that panned out last year. I know you guys are certainly motivated from that loss. But, you know, you look at all of the success that you've had since taking over as head coach of this program. Even, and I remember having you on, and we talked about the move up a division. Just kind of profile, you know, if you would, for us, what that move up a division did competitively for you all as a squad. What challenges did it bring about?
Well, it was quite a challenge, to be honest with you, and that's the reason that the Michigan High School Athletic Association has division. You know, it was quite a change for us. We were the third smallest school in Division V. The way that that they do the divisions is a little archaic, in my opinion. And I actually contacted the MHSA about that last fall, and got an explanation that is neither here nor there. But the divisions are decided, not the divisions, but your enrollment numbers are turned in February for your count for the fall, which to me is just a little bit behind the times that we have to count. So what had happened is we had a little bit of a bump in our enrollment in February that previous year, and then we lost somewhere in the neighborhood of 30 students before fall started. And so we were down around 400 students last year, and I remember playing Muskegon Oak Ridge in the district championship and talking with their head coach, and he was saying how they were close to 600 kids because they'd seen quite a bump in enrollment in their students. And so here we are, we're lining up to play a team, that's almost 200 students larger than we are in the same division on a district championship. And so it was certainly a change for us. There's no doubt about it. I think that you see teams are a little deeper. They've got numbers are a little better. As you go up a division and you play against schools that are bigger than you. And but it was a good challenge for us. There's no doubt about it. And we got to the regional championship, and I thought we competed well in that. We lost 28-20 to Frankenmuth, who advanced to the semifinals in Division V before getting knocked out.
Yeah, I've always believed, Terry, when evaluating your team, I mean, it doesn't matter what division you guys are in, you guys are going to compete. You're that good, and the way you run your program, my man, you're going to be competitive no matter who you play.
But I appreciate that.
For sure. It's amazing. But when you did contact the MHSAA to get that explanation, Terry, did you try to, I guess you can say, vie for an effort to move back to the division that you were back in 2016 and previous to that?
Oh, no. I just asked what was the thinking behind the division, in turning the numbers in February. In the old days, the count day was, it was an actual count day. You walked your kids down to the gym and you called their names and they walked across the gym floor and you verified that student did exactly, exist and you counted them that way. Well, nowadays with computers and technology, we can count our kids and, in a matter of minutes and everybody in the building and send that electronically to the MHSA. And I was explained to me by the MHSA that they need more time to set up tournaments and host. And it makes complete sense, that they need that additional time to do that. It just seems a little bit archaic to me that we have to do it 6 months ahead of time when you can see drastic changes in enrollment during that time.
Certainly. With the move, Terry, have you changed anything that you do as far as preparation for your squad, especially for this upcoming year when it comes to practice? Have you modified anything as far as preparation?
No, we're not big on change, Al. We have a saying around here, we do what we do. And whether it's weightlifting, speed training, or conditioning, whatever it may be in preparations, You know, our enrollment has dropped another 20 students. You know, there's a good we're back in Class C.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And there'll be a good chance that come this fall when the divisions are actually announced at the end of the regular season that we will be Division VI again.
Okay. All right. Help us preview your squad this year. I know that you have a large group coming back from last year's squad that fell in the D5 regional.
Yeah, we have 20 seniors that we're going to dress this year. So that's the largest class since I've been the head coach at Ithaca that I can remember. And I've been around here a long time, so it's one of the larger classes that I ever remember. And six of those seniors were up with us as sophomores in 2015 and played a role in our championship team in 15. You know, we've got a lot of guys back. So I think we got 9 starters back on both sides of the ball from last year's team.
Oh my goodness! You know, when you have a returning squad like that going into this year, I mean, leadership has to be galore for you right now, Terry. Right?
Yeah, absolutely, and that's really nice. You know, I mean, we've got a ton of kids that have played in big games and played a lot of football, and they know what it's like to play in those games, and so they help prepare all those younger kids as they're coming through our program. And, you know, in the weight room, you know, in the off season, you know, they set the tone. They do all those program things that, you know, you there's no substitute for experience.
Terry Hesbrook, head coach of the Ithaca Yellow Jackets football team. The Yellow Jackets will open up the year this Friday against Clare. Now, Terry, 20 seniors on the roster, 6 members of the varsity squad that captured the Division VI state title back in 2015, as you mentioned. As far as a few key players that you can pinpoint that you look forward to having a possible big year, what are some names you can throw out there?
Well, I'm going to throw out our quarterback. It always starts in Ithaca with our quarterback, and I'm going to throw out a guy by the name of Joey Bentley, who just recently picked up an offer from Hillsdale. Fantastic kid, 4.0 GPA. You know, he's the guy that really makes our offense go. I think you got to include Nathan Bellinger. Nathan Bellinger is a 6'5", 250-pound senior that was a first-team All-State selection last year as a junior, had over 100 tackles from the defensive line position.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have one of the best kickers in the state, if not the Midwest, and Adam Culp. Adam's a 3-year varsity kicker, you know, consistently hitting 55-yard field goals. He won the Central Michigan, Eastern Michigan, and Western Michigan kicking camps this summer. Been invited to the University of Florida, been invited to Wisconsin. So he's been all over the nation. And really a special, special kid. You know, we've got so many of them. I hate to leave anybody else. But, you know, I mean, we got so many of those guys that it's a good problem to have. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, and you mentioned Adam Culp. That's got to be a luxury, Terry, that, you know, hey, if you don't cross the pie lines, you can rely on Adam to come in there and at least put something on the board, right?
Yeah, that's huge. That's huge for us. It really is. You know, he's been able to make some big kicks for us in some adverse weather conditions. And, you know, probably the biggest weapon that he is in high school football, you know, the kickoff.
Exactly.
If the ball goes into the end zone, that's it. It's a dead ball. And now you're going 80 yards, you know, against the defense. And then, you know, if the defense can get a stop, you've got a short field offensively. And, you know, it all plays in, you know, together, you know, and it's all connected. Because if the defense can get the offensive ball and give them a short field, well, then you got a better chance of scoring points. And, you know, and everybody likes to see that.
Terry, what wrinkles have you been trying to iron out before the year starts, and what kind of hurdles do you expect to have with this year's team?
What kind of huddles?
Wrinkles. What kind of wrinkles are you trying to iron out?
Well, we want to make sure that we're balanced. We like to consider ourselves to be a balanced offense. Getting, you know, the offensive line in sync. You know, all summer long you run your 7-on-7 with your quarterbacks and receivers and all that stuff, and then you screw everything up when you got to put them linemen in front of them. And you got to get all those, the timing and all the run game, all that stuff worked out, just like everybody. But, you know, all summer long you run that other stuff, and it works out great. And then the first day you put in those guys that everything goes out the window that you've done, and you got to kind of slow down and start over. But, you know, we were able to hit the ground running. We've added some wrinkles to our offense. You know, I'd rather not share.
I think that's
been a challenge for us over the years, is to, you know, continue our offensive coaches do a great job, continue to see what it is that our kids can do. I think this is probably one of the fastest teams we've ever had as a whole.
Really? One of the fastest teams you've ever had?
Yeah, well, I'm going to guess that it wouldn't even be close. to be honest with you. It's one of the fastest teams we've had by far across the board.
Oh, my goodness. So, well, who would you say is the fastest player on the roster for you?
Well, you probably Isaiah Ridge or Braden Shaw if we're on a track. You know, if we're running 100 meters or 200 meters, those guys are going to be two of the top guys. Braden Shaw is the sophomore running back this year that'll be with us. He was a freshman last year and gained 800 and some yards as a true freshman. Mm-hmm. But I would say that Trey Chapin, Colton Campbell, you know, Adam Culp is playing a lot of receiver, Seth Davis, Joey Bentley, you know, you got all those guys that can run, Devin Barnes, all those guys can run, Zach Hesbrook. And so when you put, you know, you get all that with what we do offensively, you know, if you have speed that, you know, we're able to try and get people into space and do some things with them.
Terry, I want to ask this because, again, you guys are, as I mentioned, chasing a ninth straight league championship this season. Prior to last year's loss to Frankenmuth, I mean, you had won another state championship. What's the response been like from the community? You know, when you have a heartbreaking loss like that, I mean, in previous to that, you had so much success, so much dominant success. What was the response from the Ithaca community like around this football team?
It's been really good. And what our community did, to be honest with you, is I think they embraced it in that we were bumped up a division. And I think that they embraced it as like, okay, let's see how we're going to do. You know what I mean? And,
right.
And then it kind of became us against the world type mentality, you know, because of how they moved us up, you know, and, you know, we may have played that a little bit with our kids too, you know, and that's good. But I think our community embraced it because they got an opportunity to see us, one, play some different people. You know, we played Belding in game one. We played Muskegon Oak Ridge. And then Frankenmuth. Those are all teams that we hadn't seen in years and years and years, if ever. So that was good. But now I think that, you know, our community is excited. They see we're Class C, and they see that there's a good possibility that we're back in Division VI. And I think they're excited because they know there's so many people returning. You know, we competed at a pretty high level. We fell, even though we got bumped up. And now they're excited that, you know, if we can get back in division where we should be, you know, they're hoping for big things.
Terry Hesbrook, head coach of the Ithaca Yellow Jackets football team. Terry, before I get you out of here, I got to ask the cliche question. What are the expectations for this squad?
They're high. They're really high.
They always are, right?
They're high, yes. And, you know, I've been on the other end of that, so that's okay. Expectations never bother me when they're high, that's for sure, because, you know, we have high expectations of ourselves as coaches and of our kids, and I'm okay with expectations being high as long as people are realistic. And, you know, and our goal is to win the state championship. That's what the goal is. Is that going to happen? I don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody knows until it either happens or doesn't happen. But I think that's the goal, and I think that right now that's what our focus is on is – you know, we want to work because we want to get to a certain level or a certain stage in the playoffs. And you know, people have to understand that other people have the same goal. You know,
right,
just
right.
As we have that goal. There are teams that want to beat Ithaca really bad.
For and, sure. Yeah, you guys know, always have a target on your back every Friday night.
Yeah, and they have to understand that, you know, that there's a good chance that could happen, you know. And, you know, we've made it to the final. We made it to the final 6 years in a row, and I can go back in each one of those seasons and probably pick out a playoff game where, hey, if we didn't have a little luck here, you know, there's some luck involved in this thing. You know, I was talking with our, my former athletic director when I was in high school today, this morning, actually in my office. And he said, you know, to win a state championship, you've got to be good and you've got to have seniors and you got to be really lucky. And I think that any time that we've won a state championship, those three things were all a factor.
With that being said, Terry, what do you think last year's loss taught your young men?
Well, they didn't like it. I'll tell you.
Oh,
we
for did, sure.
We stood there and watched all 65 players, I think, that Frankenmuth had dressed, receive their medals and, you know, on our field, and they received the trophy on our field. And you know, they did not like that, but I think it was important for us to stand there and watch that and applaud Frankenmuth and their team, you know, for their accomplishment. And I think it's taught them that, you know, you're not invincible and anything can happen. So you've got to take care of all the things that you can take care of, kind of control the controllables, you know, those type of things. And the one thing that we've talked with our team with this year about is, you know, we've had some really good football teams here at Ithaca in the previous years. Mm-hmm. And the things that those teams, you know, were always able to do was to cherish practice. They learn to like or love practice. And practice sucks. Practice is hard. It's hot. You know, it's monotonous. It's, you know, it's a lot of things. But the great teams that we've had over the years have been teams that embrace practice. Listen, we have to do this. We might as well have fun at it. We might have a good attitude. We might as well get our work done. And I think the sooner that this group of guys understands that and accepts that as something that they have to do, you know, there's a much better chance of us being successful.
Yeah, you don't want any Allen Iversons on your team, right? No, none of that. Practice? Come on, we're talking about practice.
We've used that many times, Al. That's for sure. We've used that many times. We're talking about practice, coach.
Practice, man. Come on,
but,
man.
No, we don't. We wouldn't embrace Allen Iverson.
No, he would not be an Ithaca Yellow Jacket. I tell you that if he was
he
a high school football player.
He probably wouldn't play football in Ithaca. No, Allen probably wouldn't play.
No, no, no. All right, Terry, one last question, my man. You guys have beaten Clare to open up the year the last three seasons. What are you expecting on Friday night? What type of game can we expect?
Well, you know, last year we squeaked by them at their place, 31-28.
Yeah, it was a close one. Yeah, right.
They had us on the ropes in the first half, down 20-10, and we were able to come back in the second half and win the game. Word out of Clare this year is that Coach Luplo, who's in his 30th season as the head coach up there, he said that this is the best team he's ever had. So, you know, in 2009 they went to the Division V state championship. So I mean, if he's willing to make those kind of comments, they've got to have a special group of players. And I know they return just about everybody from last year, just like we do. So, and Al, I want to make sure you know, the game's on Thursday. It's not on Friday.
Oh, that's Thursday. It's a Thursday. So okay, they got it. I'm on a Michigan football website, and they have it slated on Friday here. So that'll be
okay. Yep, it is going to be on. It is going to be on Thursday, the 24th at 7 o'clock here in Ithaca.
Perfect.
And,
perfect.
We're telling our kids this is going to have the playoff atmosphere. You know, there's no doubt about it.
I think, Isaac, we know which game we're covering on Thursday night. I think we'll be there for that one, Terry. I look forward to seeing you there, all right?
I look forward to it too, Al.
Terry Hesbrook, the head coach of the Ithaca Yellow Jackets football team. Great stealing some of his time on this Tuesday afternoon. All right, let's hit our final break. When we come back, we will put a bow on today's current sports by briefly chatting about a certain now former MSU football player who has decided to return to the game, but with another program. We'll tell you who that is, that and more. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Much thanks to Terry Hesbrook, head football coach for the Ithaca Yellow Jackets. We just finished up chatting with Terry. Again, that game will take place on Thursday, not Friday. I was looking at the, which I love this website, but yeah, from time to time I do get dates wrong. They have it listed as August 25th. That will be August 24th, Ithaca versus Clare at Ithaca High School, 7 p.m., Michigan-football.com. Love it, love it, love it. But every once in a while, they give you a dud date. So there we have that. Before we close out the show, we have about 5 minutes left. Ray, I see I'm going to try to get to you, but I want to make this point when it comes to Tayo Lacusa, the 6'5", 300-pound offensive tackle from Traverse City, who 8 months ago decided to leave the Michigan State football program because he just wasn't in love with the game anymore. He has returned to the gridiron. He played in 8 games in his first season with Michigan State as a true freshie offensive lineman. He was projected to be a starter at right tackle this upcoming year. Really was going to be a factor, I believe, for MSU if he would have stayed. Lacusa posted on Instagram on Saturday that he will be playing now for former U of M head football coach Rich Rodriguez and the Arizona Wildcats. The caption read, quote, "Plans changed, I've changed, school's changed, but change isn't a bad thing," end quote. Now, he told the Detroit Free Press back in January that he was planning to play basketball at Arizona Western JUCO. It all depends on how you look at this story. You can look at this story and jump to many conclusions as a fan. You could say to yourself, this is just a player who shies away from hard work and is looking for an easier situation somewhere else. Falling out of love with the game? If that's true, why are you playing somewhere else? However, I think many of us forget that these are kids we're talking about. Kids. Kids in the year of 2017 that are dealing with many things that many of us would never know about. When you are a D1 football recruit trying to make your college decision, there is a ton of pressure that comes with that. Family and friends constantly asking where you're going, trying to see where you are, where you would fit best, which program is right for you. That's pressure, and it can be tough. And sometimes pressure leads to the wrong decision, i.e. Trevor Manuel, who we profiled on Current Sports not too long ago, who is making his now second collegiate transfer in basketball. Not to mention how rigorous of a schedule that being a Division I athlete, how crazy that schedule can be. That schedule can really take the fun out of the game. I've seen it firsthand with a few of our interns that have come through Current Sports. Andre Sims, for instance, former MSU football player, who had a crazy schedule. But you know, when I read that Instagram post from Tayo Lukusa, it shows me that he is maturing. The post invokes a feeling of not wanting to look back at life with regret. He recognizes that he's been blessed with the gift to play football, and to simply give up and not see it through would be regrettable. Quote, leaving was a dumb choice, and staying away longer just because I don't want to contradict past statements would be another dumb choice, end quote. That is the sentence that stood out to me. This is called listening to your heart and following your intuition, no matter how the general public may criticize you for it. Tayo Lukusa, I am wishing you well, my man. That wraps up today's Current Sports. Thanks so much for listening. Terry Hesbrook, much thanks to Terry Hesbrook for weighing in on a preview for the 2017 Ithaca Yellow Jackets football team. Tomorrow, we will welcome Chad Foster, new head coach of Lansing Everett, to the show. That and more. We'll see you tomorrow, folks. We're on a 23-hour break. Be easy, people.